So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
In the book of Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And we've picked out a couple of principles from this first and second verse of Scripture. And that is that understand that principle number one is that understand that Satan hates an environment where relationships thrive. Man, I don't want my relationship to just survive. I mean, I've been married to my wife for 33 years. And then, you know, some people go, well, we just got in a rut. Well, a rut is a grave with the both ends knocked out of it. I don't want to get into a rut. I want my relationship with my wife to thrive. Why? Because I plan on being around her for the rest of my life. And I don't want it just to survive. I want it to thrive. And if I'm going to do that, then I got to realize that Satan loves to create chaos. And I've got to create a place, a refuge, a home where we can be protected. Can you say amen? And then principle two said that in order to create an environment where relationships can thrive, that you need to create a home environment where the Spirit of God hovers. Where the Spirit of God hovers. How do you do that in your house? How do you do that in your house? It ought to be through prayer. It ought to be through some worship. You know, if your kids don't know what worship music is, there's a problem. If, you know, you can't have peace in the valley listening to Always Welcome to the Jungle. You just can't do it, man. You got to have some decent songs. You know, Pastor Steve was telling me something. It's okay if I share that. You don't even know what I'm going to share, but yeah, sir, go ahead. But I don't know. Pastor Steve was sharing what he shared with the young adults this past week and about these love songs that they were that our young adults listen to. But we older folks do that too. We listen to music that's not Christian sometimes. And if you'll listen to the lyrics instead of just the music, you don't want that kind of lifestyle. Remember that show? Thank you, guys. I'm done. And I've shared this before. You remember that song? There's an old song that I'm saving all my love for you. And I used to sing that to my wife. But if you listen to it, it is a woman that is in love with a married man. And she's telling him, you can do whatever you want to. But I'm going to save all my love for when you leave your wife. Yeah. Hey, we used to belly rub to that, man. And then we say, wait, we got to change our tune here. And so you got to create an environment where the Spirit of God is attracted to your house instead of the hindering spirit. And then in verse number 3 in Genesis 1, it said, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." So we got a couple of more principles out of this. Principle 3 is that you got to create light before you create things. You got to create light before you create things. You know, I love the fact Pastor Steve has preached it, but in the book of Genesis, you know, before God ever gave Adam a spouse, he gave him a job. And before he gave him a job, he had a relationship with God. Man, listen, you know, and me and Steve has really been talking about this real lately because of some of the things that we've had to deal with in families, that what we find out is going on is people will leave God to go find a mate and then try to drag them into God. Man, it is so much easier when you find somebody in God already. You know, I preach a lot about Kristen and Brent Haysecker because, man, you know, they were dating. They met on eHarmony, and they've been harmonizing ever since. But anyway, they've been making beautiful music together. But when she came up here, the first time I ever met her was at a fall festival on Halloween night. And she came up to me, and I know who she was. And Brent, she was with Brent. I'm like, oh, who's this girl?
girl. She goes, hey, I'm Kristen. She goes, oh, you're Pastor Ronnie? I go, yeah, I'm Pastor Ronnie. How are you? She goes, good, good. How well do you know Brent? I said, well, yeah, I know him pretty well, I think. You know, he's been coming to church. And so, is he really faithful and regular to church? Yeah. So, okay, because he said he knew you. But, you know, sometimes people say they know the pastor, but they really don't. So I just want to make sure he really knows you. I said, yeah, he's been at my house. We've watched the ball game together. And, you know, we play music together. And we don't make music together, but we play music together. And so it's all good. And so she was checking out his story. You know, man, we just take people at face value because we, I don't know why I'm on this. We take people at face value because we lean in with our heart instead of the Spirit of God. So you got to have the light before you create things. And then the fourth principle was that your words create your world. Your words create your world. I don't know why it is that when we get married, we feel like we can just say whatever we want to our spouse. But the Bible says that in Proverbs 15:28, that the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Just because it hits your brain doesn't mean you got to say it. Amen. Unless you're on medication. And talking, then we talked about that talking comes pretty easy, but communicating is a skill that we have to develop. You know, we have to develop, and that's what I do for a living. I communicate the gospel. I preach the gospel. But when I start talking to my wife, sometimes my tongue gets tangled up. It gets thick. And stuff that I meant to say didn't come out right. And the way she heard it and the way I said it was completely different things. And so we've got to recognize that you have to work on your communication style and your communication skills. Amen? And then I gave you the conversation skills. When you don't know where to begin, look for common ground. Number two, don't try to do all the talking. Number three, avoid rhetorical questions. You know, have you ever, and I know people like this, who was not sarcastic before they got married, but now everything that comes out of their stinking mouth is sarcastic because they married somebody who was sarcastic. You ever meet those people? Listen, if you're one of those, quit. We all don't like it. A little sarcasm is okay. It's funny. But every word, no, it gets old. Shut up. Number four, be a good listener. Be a good listener. God gives us two ears and one mouth. Be a good listener. Good listeners do not interrupt when others are speaking. They don't space out. They keep their eye on the person speaking and they respond to the feelings of the speaker and show it on their face. Amen. Now, women, I know Pastor Steve preached this. I don't know because when I'm not here, I'm listening. But I think it was the last couple of Wednesday nights. When you speak, make sure you're not in the other room. Because you women will be talking and just keep on moving. And we're out. All right, number five is the conversation wheel. Ask, listen, and comment. Then this past Sunday, we went a little bit further with this verses 3-5. Principle number five is this. You have to create the right morning routine and the right evening routine that is good for the relationship. And that is different for each person. You know, you might be one of those people who get up smiling and sweet every morning like me. I get up usually. I was sick and I was singing. I was worshiping and Sherry said, are you singing? I go, yeah. I was singing like a frog. Give me praise, Jesus. I was trying to get better, man. And so she's like, I can't believe you're singing while you're... But now my wife, as sweet as she is and as lovely as she is and as gorgeous as she is, you don't talk to her until 3/4 of a cup of coffee. There's a line that you're allowed to speak to her. You can look at her before then, but you don't talk until it gets a little bit further down. But whatever it is your routine, you need to know what that routine is, right? And you need to create good ones in the morning and in the evening if possible. Because time is an environment where relationships flourish. If you don't put time to your relationship, it's not going to be a good relationship. And that goes across all relationship lines. If you want to be a good friend, you know, I say this a lot, that I'm a better friend than most of my friends are to me. Now, Pastor, that's a little presumptuous. It is. I know that. But I make time. I say this, I'm a better brother than most of my brothers are to me, my siblings. Because I don't go through Mobile without stopping and seeing them. I try to make, you know, every time I make concession to go through there and go there. Now, they'll go to Disney World and don't even call me to meet them in Wildwood. Doesn't that make you mad? Yeah. Then they want to call me and sleep at my house when they're done. No, yeah, you ain't done. So I'm just kidding. So anyway, time is the environment where relationships flourish. Don't waste it. We talked about Genesis 6, 1, 6 through 8 says this, and God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 7, thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Principle number 6 is you have to create separation from the world. You have to create separation from the world. Don't let what's going on in the world come into your life. Listen to me. Do not sit there 24/7 and watch Fox News. It will drive you nuts. Certainly don't watch CNN either, or MSN, any of those liberal things. But we go, well, I'm doing good because I'm watching Fox. No, man, you get in the Word of God. I'll go one step further. Well, Pastor, what I do all day long is just watch preaching and look and watch YouTube videos of this pastor. No, live. Separate from the world, but don't be, you know, the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye weird. That's not what the Word of God says. It says, come out from among them and be ye separate. But just because you're separate doesn't mean that you got to be weird. Just because you're separate doesn't mean that you've got, you know, and I'm not exaggerating. There was a guy who, man, he got miraculously saved and he was pressing into the Lord. And then all of a sudden he made his garage his man cave, and then the man cave came his prayer closet, and then he would work all day and then go right into his prayer closet, and his wife was being neglected. Are you listening to me? Well, I'm creating heaven. That's not heaven. Heaven is balance. Heaven is balance. So you don't want to create, you got to create heaven from the rest of the world. Remember that it cannot create itself. Separate your heaven from the rest of the world. Listen, if you do not minister to your family, and listen, I hear this all the time too. Well, you know, that's why we don't come to church on Wednesday night, because that's our family night. Whatever. Whatever. You know, you're don't get me started. You need to be in the house of God. Well, how about coming together to the house of God? And not coming separately. Not bringing your kids and drop them off. But come and bring them and show them the way in which they should go. And how about this? When you get to church, listen. Apply a couple of things I say every once in a while. Anyway, but with this, you have to create separation from the world. Everybody has influences in their life. And we talked about the spheres of influence, which is the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies. And there is, everybody could go to the outer court, was a little bit more restrictive to go to the inner court, but real restrictive to go to the holies of holies. Don't let everybody come into your world. Don't let everybody have full access to you. You know, we lost a guy many years ago. A young man was here, and I don't know, he was in his 20s, and we were standing, I was standing right there. He goes, hey, Pastor, could I have your cell number? I said, for what? Well, I just might want to just call and talk sometime. I go, no. Pastor, you wouldn't give him his cell phone? And I wouldn't. Why? Because there, you know, we run 700 people. If everybody has my cell phone and goes around the secretaries and all that, all I'd be doing is answering my phone all day. That's one of the things I don't like Messenger. Some people have tried to call me on Messenger. I never answer Messenger. Don't call me on Messenger. I'm not answering. And so you do not let everybody, well, wait a minute, Pastor, we're your parishioners. I understand that. But you can't let everybody in your inner circle. You can't let everybody in the inner court. And you certainly can't let everybody in the holies of holy. Well, Pastor, is that scriptural? Absolutely. The Bible said that Jesus had 70, and then out of the 70 had the 12, and out of the 12 he had the 3. So you need to create not barriers, but you need to create what those circles are and who are in those circles. And sometimes, from time to time, you got to kick people out of your circle. You know, if you're going to be drama all the time and all you want to do is take my time and not take any of my advice, I'm going to have to kick you out of one of my circles. Amen? Because how many know that sometimes God brings people into your life for a reason, sometimes for a season, and sometimes for a lifetime? Make sure that you're not trying to keep everybody in your life for a lifetime when God only brought him in there for a season or a reason. Good preaching, Pastor. Who are you allowing in your circles and at what level? Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says this, and then the Lord said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas, and it was good. Principle number 7, you have to create a gathering place where relationships can thrive. I talked about it Sunday. There are two places you need to gather. You need to gather around a table. You need to have dinner together. There's something about having dinner together that does something. So if you want to really get to know people, what do? You invite them out to dinner. Might be the last time you invite them to dinner, but you invite them to dinner. And you take them to dinner or you bring them over to your house. And that is so important for your family unit to thrive. We still, even my daughter's, you know, works a full-time job. She's 23 years of age and she has her own life. But at least once or twice a week, we make a point to come around the table and talk about our day and talk about our week and talk about what's going on in our life. Because there is an exchange that goes on. And then the other gathering place for you people who are married, M-A-R-R-I-E-D. You put a ring on it and it is logged at the courthouse. That are married, there's a gathering place that ought to be in the bedroom. And ought to be with nobody else that's married to somebody else. That's called adultery. Everybody good? All right. If you're not married, it's called fornication. Oh, Pastor, we're married in the eyes of God. No, you're fornicating in the eyes of God. Period. Well, God understands. He sure does. Absolutely, he understands. But not to your good. All right. So, you need, because there is a chemical, there is a chemistry, a natural chemistry that takes place that can't take place any other way. And you listen, husbands and wives, goes back to that creating a routine. Husbands and wives, if you don't have a healthy gathering time, then you need to get one. And if you have to, you know, well, Pastor, I like for it to be a spontaneous. Well, if it ain't happening at all, schedule it until it can get spontaneous. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. Got a little quiet on that one. But anyway, verse 11 and 13 says, and then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass, and the herbs, and the yield seed according to its kind, and the tree, the yield fruits, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning was the third day. Principle number 8 is be yourself. Be yourself. Finding yourself and being comfortable in your own skin is the greatest gift that you can give to your relationship. Be who you are. Now, I'm not talking about trying to better yourself. I'm not talking about, well, Pastor, this is the way I was made. No, 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 no. You were, you know, you can develop skills. You can develop skills. You know, there are people that are rude. There are people that were raised by wild Indians. Don't know, taking no offense, you know. But that doesn't mean you got to act like that. That means that, you know, you better yourself. But I'm saying be comfortable who you are. What's the worst thing that you can do is be somebody you are not while you're dating, and then when you get married, then the real you comes out. That's usually when divorce happens. Good preaching, Pastor. All right, so according to its kind, you will never be like some other people. No matter how much you want to be, you got to be who you are. Principle number 9 is this, verse 14 through 19. It says, and then God said, let the lights be in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights for the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. It was so. Then God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening was the morning of the fourth day. Principle number 9 is don't expect anybody to read your mind. Give clear direction, signs, and seasons. Realize that life has seasons. Don't miss out on a good one because you didn't see the signs. But if you land in a bad one, remember, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. That the season didn't come to stay at your house for the rest of your life. But you better read the signs, amen? You got to read what's going on. You know, if it's 32 degrees outside, you realize it ain't summer.
if it's 32 degrees outside, you realize that you got to take some precautions to get through that season. That if you walk around in 32 degree weather when it's raining all the time in flip-flop shorts and a muscle shirt or tank top, trust me, you're going to get sick eventually, and you're not going to survive that season. So you got to look for the signs and realize what season that you're in. And realize that if you're in this season, that the season's going to change. Can you say amen? Then in verse 20, let's go for tonight. Then God said, let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of heaven. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Here comes principle number 10, and it's simple. Don't make relationships so expensive. Wait a minute, how did you get that? I don't know. Because here's what it is. God made the heavens and the earth. You know, there is, and my wife and I have talked about this some, that there are some people, in order for you to feel like you're being loved, you either got to spend money or feel like they have to spend money on you. That's not love. There are so many things that are free. There are so many things outdoors that you could take a picnic or go have a walk or whatever the case is. Go to the beach. There are things that are free. Now, here's the other side of that. If you're dating somebody who, and the guy will never spend money on you, you better recognize the sign and recognize the season. Amen. All right. So you see where it all comes back to a balance, man. God expects us to be balanced. You know, you can't spend what you don't have. And that's why you get into trouble, because you spend what you don't have. However, you can't be all greedy and cheap and never spend anything on your woman. I remember there was a true story. I'll never forget her. Her name was Sister Pugh, Brother and Sister Pugh. Matter of fact, Brother Pugh died in a service. I'll never forget that. I was playing the piano. He went to shouting. He was doing like a little whirly cup, whirly, woo, glory, glory. He just went on down. He was just laid out. That's bad in a Pentecostal church. We just thought he fell out. People shouting around him. That's no lie, y'all. About 15, 20 minutes, he's still down there. Somebody walked by. Things kind of calming down. Touch him, Lord. Touch him, Jesus. That's no lie. They got down on his knee and they went. They felt the pulse. Call 911. It was too late, boy. He was gone. He was gone. But I remember him telling his wife, Sister Pugh, he said, when sodas get over 15 cents, I won't buy you no more. 15 cents. And he never bought her another one. That's all right. She got a new guy who would do it. But anyway. The most elaborate environment is the free one. Nature. You know, can I tell you that some of our millennials are longing for a simpler life. They want a simpler life. Some people say there is no free ride, and that's not entirely true. The nature is pretty free. Beaches, mountains, creeks, streams. Now, it costs you to get there. Rock formations. I know she likes those over there. They're all put there for your enjoyment. So don't make relationships so expensive, but then don't try to be so cheap that you never buy anything for your loved one. All right, verse 24 says this, and then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and the creeping thing and the beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. God saw that it was good. Principle 11 is this: choose your external relationships carefully. Choose your external relationships carefully. Make sure it's your kind. Make sure it's your kind.
Well, Pastor, wait a minute now. How am I going to reach people that are not my kind? And I agree with you. But the majority of the people that you hang with need to be people of your kind. And what I mean by that is, why do you always want to fight and fuss over issues if by hanging around everybody who's not like you? You know, I'm the pastor of this church, but I got friends who drink. I probably got friends in this church who drink. But anyway, you ain't supposed to be. But anyway. But you know, they're my friends. But I make sure that all of my friends don't drink. I mean, I finally got Steve Miller to quit. So, you know. Amen. I was thinking about this Steve. But anyway. Now, yeah. 20-something years ago. But anyway. No. You understand what I'm saying? You got four people in your lives: people who add to you, people who multiply you, people who subtract from you, and people who divide you. They're already in your life, and they need to be in your life because you need to be multiplying somebody. You need to be adding somebody, and so there are people that are in your life already. Make sure that there are more that are adding and multiplying than subtracting and dividing. So you got to be careful. Make sure it's your kind. Find people who accept you and celebrate your kind. Now, that's the key. Why would you want to go where you're tolerated instead of where you're celebrated? I want to go where I'm celebrated, not just where I'm tolerated. All right? So don't exhaust yourself trying to gain the approval of everybody who doesn't value your gifts. Why would you do that? Well, I just want them to like me. And I like people to like me, but you got to recognize not everybody's going to. So, you know, you need to be around people, you know, who are a little different, but the majority, you need to be around people whom you can connect with and who can sharpen you and you sharpen them. Don't exhaust yourself trying to gain the approval of people who don't value you. Verses 26 and 28 says this: Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." I wish God would have left that out of there so we wouldn't have creeping things. But anyway. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female. And he created them. And then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." You see that? The first thing he told them to do? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So principle number 12 is God said, "Let us make man in our image." So principle number 12 is be conformed to the image of Christ. If you want to have a great relationship, be conformed to the image of Christ. You know, people always talk about, well, they hated Jesus. No, the religious people hated Jesus. Everybody else loved Jesus. Everybody else loved Jesus. The religious people didn't love Jesus, but everybody else did. So let Christ be your mentor. Christ is the model of a godly lifestyle. You do know that Christian means Christ-like, that we are to be Christ-like. And it's one thing to be a honk if you love Jesus or a what would Jesus do bumper sticker, but it's a whole other thing to truly act in like Christ. But what we have, for whatever reason, for whatever reason, man, we come to church and we either enjoy church or whatever the case is, but we go out and live however we want to live. Because we did not follow the model of Christ. This is not the book of suggestions. It's a book that if you follow, you will find success in your life. The more I follow this book, the less miracles I need, the less chaos is in my life, the better my relationships are with friends, family, and spouse. Even children, the more I use this. You know what? And let me just tell you, and I know it happens, and please hear my heart. I'm praying for you, man. But why do you think that God wanted husband and wife to stay together forever? Because it just gets tough, man, dealing with blended families. I mean, blended families are in the Bible. Jesus was in a blended family. You know, so it's tough. I understand that. But that's why if we would follow the Word of God and not, let me just say it, one person can't do it. It's got to be both.
But if we would follow the word of God then and be conformed to the image of his son, then our lives would be so much better. Some of us are saying, you know, well, Pastor, my life's not that great. Well, how much really are you following the word of God? And people go, I'm following it to the best of my ability. Really? Let's talk about your choices. Let's talk about your actions. Let's talk about your decisions. But people don't want to talk about that. Ultimately, your goal is to look like Christ. Christianity is not just a theology. All right? We were given a teacher, a model of our for our lifestyle. We are called the ministry of Christ is best called the modeling of Christ. So he showed us how to handle our enemies. He showed us how to handle our friends. He showed us to cry at funerals, rejoice at weddings, have compassion, feed the hungry, rest. He showed us how to have rest and relax. And he showed us how to have times of refreshment, times of relationship. He showed us all these things. He is our example. But it does no good for us just to know what the example is, but don't follow it. Genesis 1, 29 and 31. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And so the evening of the morning were the sixth day. Principle 13 is this: commit to being a healthy person. Wow, wait a minute. I don't like that one. I really don't. But commit to being a healthy person. Toxic minds and bodies will kill your relationships. Be healthy in your mind. Be healthy in your body to the best of your ability. I'm not talking about being stupid. I'm not eating oats every day. I'm not eating grass. No. That's right. Uh-uh. No, I seen beast of the field. That's what I'm saying. Then it goes into Genesis 1, or Genesis 2. You ready? Let's go a little bit further. Let's see, I got time. Genesis chapter 2 says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. Can I tell you that he didn't rest because he was tired? He rested because he was finished. So too many of us rest just when we're tired. We need to rest when we're finished. Principle number 14 is commit or give yourself enough time to build strong relationships. Take time to pray. Take time to pray. Man, pray about everything. If you're going to be accused of being a fanatic, pray about everything. And you know what? Here's what gets me, because some people, you know, they think in order for you to pray that you got to go, oh, Heavenly Father, God, in the name, you know. You don't really need to do that sometimes when you're in the middle of meeting people. You know, I've met people and knew they were lying to me, and I just said, I bind that old lying devil in the name of Jesus. Shut up. And they'd have to quit talking. And they go, oh, I just forgot what I was thinking. I go, I know you did. You little liar. But take time to pray. Take time to pray. But here's, take time to pray. Take time to play. You know, some of us don't play enough. You do. But sometimes, some of us don't play. All you do is work. But you need time to play. You need time to pray. But you also need time to rest. Now, boy, we got that rest part down. Now, God said rest, not take up residence. We want to rest all the time. No, you need a time of rest. And I know I shouldn't be preaching this message right now on the rest part. But because I know that I've been sick because I have run myself into the ground. Let me rephrase that. My wife has run myself into the ground. My wife just kept taking these preaching gigs and telling me to go do this and go do that. And so she wouldn't let me stay home. And so, you know, she ran me into the ground. No, I'm just kidding for those of you who don't know that. But I understand that I ran myself into the ground. And it is one of the hardest things for me to do is to rest. I became restless because my wife had me on lockdown for about a week. And I became restless. I felt like, you know, for those of us who are borderline workaholics. I felt like I wasn't doing my job. I felt like I was letting people down. I needed to be here, blah, blah, blah. And guess what, though? Can you believe that the church went on fine without me? Yeah. So take time to pray, take time to play, and take time to rest. I'm going to give you another one. Genesis 2 and 3 says, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. Here's principle 15. Bless your relationships. Bless your relationships. Now, the blessing consists of several parts, and I want to give you those. Bless your relationships. You know, I bless my relationships. I mean, my friendships that I have, I want to bless those relationships. But here's a couple of ways that you bless. And if you don't bless your children, man, you're really missing out on something. I would always lay hands on my children and bless them, and I still do. Do you know this day, my daughter's 23 years of age, but just last week or one of the nights I was sick, I was out on the couch and she was getting ready to go to bed. She came out there and she said, Dad, can you pray my night-night prayer? Y'all don't tell her I said that. She'll get really mad. I told y'all that. And I said, absolutely. It was a prayer that we used to pray every night. And so she said, Dad, I just want my night-night prayer. Is she here? Okay. Yeah. Brandy? All right, yeah. So she said, can I have that? And so I prayed that prayer over her that I've prayed for 23 years. I prayed the same prayer that I've always prayed over there. And I had her repeat the scripture. And, you know, and that's just our little thing that we've done. But make sure that you bless your relationships. The blessing consisted of several parts. One of them is touching them. It's hard to bless people without touching them. You know, it's something. You know, that's what we do when we're not sick. You know, even we shake hands. Or, you know, I've been sick this week, so I've been doing the fist bump. You know, hey, how you doing, man? I don't want to put these germs on you. Whatever. He's praying over his hand right now. But that's what we do. You touch people. And how many knows that that is a level of intimacy? I mean, you ever have people that touch you? You don't want to be like, hey. I don't know you like that, bro. You know, anybody have them close talkers? Like, hey, there's a 2-foot circle, bro. There's some friends of mine at another church, and they're good people, but he always wants to come around here. I'm like, bro, you got to step back. Well, my breath don't stink. I don't care about your breath. I don't want your lips on me, man. You got to step back, bro. But touching them is a part of blessing them. So, you know, and so moms and dads, make sure that you touch your children and bless them. And husbands, make sure you're touching your wives. And some of you are like, you know, some of you single parents are like, well, Pastor, what am I going to do? Man, let somebody who loves you, who is a father figure to you, periodically just bless me. You know, I don't get around my mentors much without having them, hey, just pray for me before I go. Because I want you to bless me. Because blessing consists of several parts. Touching them, it consists of speaking into them. What are you speaking into their lives? You know, Pastor, I don't want to lie to my children. No, man, speak those things that aren't as though they were. When they were in school, I'd tell them, you're the smartest kid in the class. And I knew they wasn't because there were some Chinese kids in there. I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. I know. Yeah, yeah. Our ratings just went down Yes, I'm kidding. That's right. My name is Keith Ivester. Anyway, but you know, speak into your children's lives. Speak into them and tell them some things. All right. Number three is giving something to them. Giving something to them. Part of blessing them is giving them. You know. Give them money if you can. Give them whatever the case is. And then the fourth thing is prophesying to them. Well, I'm not a prophet. You are in your house. Prophesying is declaring the word of God. So you have the ability to prophesy over your family, prophesy over your children. I'm not talking about prophesying, but prophesy. Speak what the word of God says over them. And then here's the principle of blessing. Come on back and I'll be done. Here's the principle of blessing. Everything flows from the top down. Listen to me. Whether you are a single parent or whether you are a couple, everything flows from the top down. If you want change, it has to start at the head first. Everything flows from the top down. So here's what the Bible said in Psalms 133, verses 2 and 3 says this. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. The beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. He commanded the blessing. Instead of cursing people, why don't you start blessing people? I bless you in the name of Jesus. It's one thing that, Jesus, can't think of his name. I can see his face. He was here teaching on Muslim. Haytham. One of the things, if you ever get around Haytham Bessemer, because, you know, he came out of Muslim into Christianity. But if you ever get around him, he always talks about blessing. He always, I bless you, my brother. I bless you, I bless you, I bless you. And we ought to bless people instead of just curse them. We just bless you in the name of Jesus. I want you to stand with me tonight. See, we're getting out 9 minutes early. Holy Spirit of God. You know, and I know that, man, I went so fast tonight in the last couple of weeks. I know that it's hard to get these, but I hope you wrote them down. I hope you go to YouVersion and download it and begin to just put this into your spirit. Baby, my wife, in case you didn't know who my baby was. I'm no joke. I was at a church one time, and I'd been there a few years. And I said, I'm going to ask my wife to stand up and testify. This random woman stood up and testified. Everybody was just looking around. I was looking at her. I go, okay, thank you. Now I want my other wife to testify. Come here, baby. If you're near your spouse, I just want you to take their hand. If you're near family. If you're near friends, maybe your spouse isn't here yet. Take the hand of a friend. Take a hand of the neighbor. Holy Spirit of God. And I just want you to pray for that person that you're holding their hand. For your relationship to thrive. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I hold the hand of my wife of 33 years, God, I pray that you help me, help us to create an environment where our relationship thrives. Lord, I pray that for every single person here tonight, that Lord, that they would not grow weary in their well-doing and settle for less than your best. That they would not settle for less than what you said they could have. Because God, I pray, you said that you commanded the blessing to be their life forevermore. And Father, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to roll down this place, roll down our lives, spill over. Lord, I bless every right relationship and I curse every wrong one. Lord, not just romantically, but even friendship-wise, God. Lord, you know the future. And Lord, those that might take us down the wrong road, I just curse those in the name of Jesus. And Lord, those that will lift us up, those that will challenge us to do well, those that will get in our face and even fight us out of a bad attitude, but they love us and trying to keep us on the straight and the narrow, I just bless those, God. Lord, I bless every single parent in this place today. Lord, I bless every single person in this place. That, Lord, you've got a plan for their life. And even though that it's not seen at this time, Lord, you know it. And I know that your plan is to prosper them and not to do them harm. And I pray that they wouldn't grow weary, God. By the power of your Holy Spirit, God, move in this place. Move in our lives. And God, help us to create that atmosphere. Help us to create it on the job. Help us to create it at home, God. Help us to create heaven from earth. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, by your power, by your mercy, amen and amen. God bless you tonight. Come on, give Jesus a hand.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.